Well, Merry Christmas. Welcome to our Christmas Eve morning service. This will be the only morning service we're having today. Now, if you are visiting with us, we normally have traditional services here in the sanctuary at 8:30 and 10:45. Also, we have a contemporary service at 10:45 in the Wilson Activity Center. The pastors and staff would like to thank you for choosing Asbury to be your place of worship today. We're really glad to have members as well as visitors. If you will, please fill out the attendance pad. They're located at the ends of the aisles on the center aisle, ends of the pews. If you'll fill that out, pass it to your neighbor, and then pass it back to the center, we would appreciate it. I do ask you to rotate your bulletin 180 degrees and turn to the announcements. I told Cheryl Kate, with everything going on, we're going to get through this service with the bulletin as it is. Tonight, there will be three special services. Candlelight services are always very moving this time of year. We will have services here at 4, 7, and 11 o'clock p.m. Child care will be offered at the 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock services. We will also be blessed with the addition of a brass ensemble at the 4 o'clock and the 11 o'clock services. Now, a week from today, on New Year's Eve, services at Asbury will return to their regular times, divine services here, 8:30 and 10:45, and celebration service at 10:45 in the Wilson Activity Center. And the coffee and donut time will always be there at 9:30 as well. We have a church planning retreat to be held here on Saturday, January 13th. Your presence is very much requested, and your input is vital in the process of planning at Asbury. Please make plans to be present from 9 in the morning till about noon. As you can see from the bulletin, there are a lot of things happening at Asbury. We're glad you're here. At this time, please stand and pass the peace of Christ. Please stand for the call to worship. Eternal God, by the birth of Jesus Christ, you gave yourself to the world. Restore within us the image and likeness of our Creator. Amen. Remain standing, please, for the hymn of praise, number 224, Good Christian Friends Rejoice.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, God's greatest example of love. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Please join us in the congregational prayer response. Loving Father, may we be ever mindful of the love Christ gives to us through our eternal salvation. May we honor the gift of Christ to us this Advent season by truly loving others in the way in which he led by thought, word, and deed. In Jesus' name we pray.
Well, good morning. How are y'all today? Good. All right. So, I have a question for you. When it's your birthday, what happens? What happens?
People celebrate you because you're getting older.
Okay. People celebrate you.
You usually have parties.
You have parties?
You get presents.
You get presents. Usually when you have a birthday party, people come over, right? Your friends and your family, and you have balloons and you have cake and you just celebrate you, right? And you make a lot of noise and you have a lot of fun. Well, when you go to other people's birthdays, what happens? You usually take them what? Presents, that's right. And what kind of presents do you normally take? Toys. What else? Legos. Okay, what else?
Things they like.
Things they like. Okay, what else?
Maybe clothes.
Maybe clothes. That's a good thing. Well, whose birthday is tomorrow?
Jesus.
So what? Your great-grandma's. Happy birthday, Bev. Had to get that in there. He was good, wasn't he? We didn't plan that either. And so, for Jesus' birthday, what did he get? What did he get? He got presents, but what were the presents?
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Good. Y'all don't let me down because we did talk about this. He did. He got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there's another special present that he wants you to give him. And what is that?
Love.
Love. And who else?
Us.
Us. High five, Hannah Hoff. You get it. High five for that. He wants us. That's right. That's the present that he wants from us. Because he wants us to have him in our hearts every day. So as you go tomorrow and you open up all of those presents, you see what Santa has brought you. And they're all of their faces are aglow. And you celebrate. Remember whose special birthday it is. Remember it's Jesus' birthday. And that he doesn't care about the presents. He doesn't care about that. He cares that he wants you. All right, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this special time in the year. And we especially am thankful for birthdays. But most of all, we are thankful for that special birthday tomorrow, when a baby was born by the name of Jesus. And that we need to remember through all of the special presents we are given tomorrow, the most precious gift was your son, and that he needs to be in our hearts all the time. In your son's holy name we pray, amen.
Listed on the back of the bulletin are our prayer concerns, the ones we know about. We have several to add today. Please be thinking about Becky Sage, Linda Southern upon the death of her brother, and Dottie Mosley, who is under hospice care. Betty Watt, Charlie Ward Sr., Bob McInturf, David Mackey, John Carson, and Jean Beth Hill. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that your Spirit is in this place this morning, as there is nowhere on earth you are not present. Your grace abounds and covers us today, as it did yesterday and will tomorrow. You are and have been the same throughout the ages and will be in the ages to come. We acknowledge that we are a blessed people. We can come into your house to worship without fear and without retribution. We pray for our brothers and sisters in faraway lands who do not have the opportunities we have in this great nation. We lift them up to you and ask that you keep them safe in their worship of your holy presence. During this time of year, we are running from store to store, from Christmas party to Christmas party. I pray that we all stop and ponder just what this season is all about. The birth of Jesus, your Son, and the Redeemer of your people through his sacrifice on the cross. Help us to stay mindful of those who do not have a roof over their heads, clothes on their backs, or warm food to eat. And Father, there are so many who are away from loved ones during this season. Please grant them peace and protection. We also lift up those who are celebrating for the first time without their loved one who has been called to glory this year. Father, grant them peace and shower them with your love. Most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us bless the morning offering. Loving Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give back a portion of what you've blessed us with. We know that it is through your love and grace that we have been blessed bountifully. Remind us to reach out to others who are less fortunate than us, and we lift them up in prayer and ask for their protection. We ask this in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to this child that you delivered will soon deliver you? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you have kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will
remain standing for the hymn of meditation, number 245, The First Noel.
Thank you. Good morning. Well, here we are at one of the most exciting times of the year. We've pulled out all of the decorations. We've hung the lights on the houses. We've hung the lights on the trees, adorned them with collector's ornaments or maybe some keepsake ornaments that we've had since we've been very small. The towns have all dressed up their courthouses with lights, and even the Capitol has been adorned with lights and lit up right after the parade came up Capitol Avenue. We've also hurried from store to store, buying just the right gift for our loved ones, and attended a few parties with lots of singing and lots of laughter. You know, it's a great time of year. But what I'd like to do this morning, if you'd allow me to, is to maybe take us all back to that very first Christmas day, to the sights, the sounds, the smells, the shepherds, as well as the insight of the mother of our Lord, Mary. Now, if you have your Bible with you this morning, I'd invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 15, and I'll be reading out of the New Revised Standard this morning. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The word of God for the people of God. Over the past few weeks, we've examined the heart of Joseph and the pride he must have felt and the obvious bragging he must have done to all of his friends, telling everyone that he was engaged to that beautiful young lady that lived on the other side of Nazareth. Mary, she was gorgeous, smart. She knew the Torah and she knew the prophets. The woman of every young man's dreams. He, along with the other bachelors, probably sat around the well and watched all the young ladies come and draw water out of the well every day. And then Mary, yeah, she would probably giggle with all of her girlfriends and say, "Yeah, that's my fiance over there, that big, tall, good-looking guy." It just seemed like the perfect engagement. Mary knew the prophets, and she understood, like every other young woman in the tribe of Judah, that the king of Israel would be born through the house of David and through the tribe of Judah. All the young girls dreamed of being the mother of that next king. When the archangel Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her that she would not only be the mother of a son and not only be the mother of the next king of Israel, she would give birth to the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. Her dream of giving birth to the next king would come true. Her son would be the Son of God who would deliver the people from their sins, the Messiah. But as we all know, word got back to Joseph somehow that Mary, his wife-to-be, was pregnant. And his heart must have sunk to the bottom of that well. But he loved her so very much that he didn't want to embarrass her, not her nor her family. So he decided, as the scriptures say, to put her away privately. Until an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Do not be afraid to take her as your wife, because this is God's plan." His heart went from completely broken to elated, And he got up the next morning and immediately, it says, and went and got married. Think about it. The social stigma that surrounded the two must have been overwhelming. Here was a devout young woman who studied the Old Testament scriptures and a young carpenter who knew the law backwards and forwards. Everything that was happening to them went against all things they were taught. But what drove them forward was the plan God had divulged to them through his messenger, Gabriel. Mary was pregnant and not married. And Joseph was taking a pregnant woman back to his home who was not yet his wife. No sooner had that happened, a census was called. And off they went to the town where their family's roots were, and that was to Bethlehem. Now, this trip wasn't 9 blocks. It wasn't 9 miles. The trip was just short of 95 miles. With Mary almost 9 months pregnant, this trip must have taken a few agonizing weeks to complete. Well, after the exhausting trip was completed, they were told that there was no place for them in the guest house. It's interesting. Some biblical scholars have written that this lack of room for them in the inn was due to the gossip from some of the travelers from Nazareth and had told the owners of the house about the social stigma surrounding Mary and Joseph. They were told the stable was for them, a place for travelers who couldn't pay for a room, or a place for people who were outcast and not wanted inside the inn. The stable was a place where all the animals that roamed around during the daytime were shut up at nighttime. And I'm sure saying it smelled like a chicken house on Highway 10 in the summertime is just a mild way of saying that there was a stench in the air. Well, Jesus, who was considered an outcast by society, and the religious elite was considered an outcast before he was even born, and even after he was born. Well, Mary gave birth that night to Jesus and chose a trough made of wood to place him in. A trough where the lowly animals would find nourishment. This trough, a manger, would be the most humble places for our Lord to be laid. Also that night, a miraculous light appeared to the shepherds outside the city. Now, these shepherds could have been those individuals that had the herd and offered the sheep to the temple for the sacrifices to be made for the people. These shepherds had an occupation that was seen as the lowest rung on the occupational ladder. There was nothing lower than being a shepherd. They were told a Messiah had been born in the city and who'd also experienced heavenly hosts saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Well, now the scriptures say that the shepherds immediately went to see this thing that the angel had told them. If Shepherd Doug would have been amongst them, I would have said, "Hold up just a minute, guys. We're out here. Somebody shined a great big flashlight in our eyes, told us that somebody was being born, and then we heard people singing that we didn't even see. And then all of a sudden, this person that shined that flashlight in our eyes went back up in the sky. We're not moving until we figure this one out." Thank goodness Shepherd Doug wasn't there. Well, the scripture tells us that they went into Bethlehem and they found Jesus in the stable, just like the angel had told them. I'm sure that Mary and Joseph, though, were quite surprised to see them, because they explained to them why they were visiting and just exactly what the angel had told them. Everybody that was there were amazed at what was being told to them by those shepherds. They worshiped Jesus for a while, and then they returned to their flocks, praising and telling everyone along the way that they had seen the Messiah. And everyone was absolutely amazed at what had happened. Everyone but Mary. As we will see, Mary had an insight into the enormity of this event, more so than any other person. Mary had found favor with God and was the first person God had revealed his plan to. She was so humbled and made herself available to God. As we read a few weeks ago, she was so excited when God revealed his plan to her, she had to go tell someone. That someone was Elizabeth. I can just see Mary, though, on her way to go visit Elizabeth, and doubt starting to creep into her fleshly mind. But when she walked into Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" The doubt that may have crept into Mary's mind on her journey was just erased by the greeting that she had received from her cousin. Then take into account the visit from the shepherds. Out of the blue, these stinky old shepherds showed up saying an angel had told them the Messiah had been born and that they had come to worship him. Mary must have realized that this was going to be much more than just a Bethlehem issue. As angels were spreading the word to those who interact with priests in the temple with sacrifices. You see, verse 39 says, "But Mary treasured up all these words and pondered them in her heart." She was beginning to remember what the prophets had said about a Messiah would be born through the house of David and would be a sacrifice for all people. 8 days after Jesus' birth, they traveled about 6 miles to Jerusalem, where he was presented to the priest in the temple. He was there for the traditional ceremony of circumcision. There was a man in that town named Simeon. And the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit rested upon Simeon. It had been revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Well, when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple, Simeon was there, and he took Jesus from their arms and said, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." This is just another act of validation to Mary that her son was truly the Son of God, and not just for the nation of Israel, but for the entire world. Within 2 years of Jesus' birth, wise men, or scriptures say, magi, came from the east looking for the King of the Jews that had been born, as the star had guided them to Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. They brought gifts of gold, symbolizing his kingship. They brought frankincense, symbolizing his deity, and myrrh, a spice used in preparing bodies after death. Mary, knowing these symbolic gifts and what they were used for, I'm sure it was not lost on her. Many of the people saw what was going on, but most of all, Mary. Mary, of all people, knew from what she had heard and all that she had seen that her son was the Messiah, the King of all kings, and the one destined to redeem all people from their sins through his sacrifice. Of all people who ever lived, Mary must have felt the greatest of joys as well as the greatest of sorrows, knowing what her son was born
to do. She would weep at the foot of the cross for her Lord, her Messiah, and her Son as he paid the sacrifice for the sins of all people. Jesus entered this world as an outcast, and he left this world as an outcast. He made a way for you and for me through the manger to the cross, and he will come again in glory to take all his people home to a place that he has prepared for you and for me. A wooden manger to a wooden cross, the most humble of elements used by God for the greatest events in history. In this Christmas season, let us be as joyful as Mary, as worshipful as the shepherds, as giving as the Magi, giving ourselves to the living King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because Jesus Christ has been born this day. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is hymn number 246, Joy to the World. Christmas season, because we worship a risen Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I pray that you have a wonderful, safe, fruitful holiday season. And I ask that you bow your head, please, and receive this blessing. Father, I pray for these, your people, your church, your children. Father, pour out windows of heaven, open those windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon them that they cannot hold, that can only come from you. Father, we see our Lord placed in a manger. We see our Lord on a cross. He came and he died for us. But Lord, today we celebrate his birth and his coming. And we thank you for your great plan. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.